The Metal Pit Podcast. Rate and review.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast. This is where we dig deep into the riffs, the legends, and the chaos that make heavy metal what it is today. You can check out our latest reviews, Metal Maiden of the Month, interviews, and more at our website at www.themetalpit.org. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook at The Metal Pit and at The Metal Pit Podcast. And visit our YouTube channel at The Metal Pit 666. If you have any album suggestions or maybe you want to be a guest on an episode, email us podcast@themetalpit.org. Please rate and review us. Here we go, The Metal Pit Podcast. And my guest this week is one of our writers again at the Metal Pit. She's been on a bunch of podcasts. It's Georgina. How are you, Georgina?
Hi, Blake. How are you? Hi, everybody.
We'll say one thing to our listeners. Now we're recording this, the day we're recording it. Okay, sorry. First of all, I'm in Ontario, Canada. Georgina's in New York. And I have the baseball game on while we're recording this because the Blue Jays are beating the Yankees 8-1. And if they win this game, they win the series. So we'll see if it ends before we're done recording the podcast, even though Georgina doesn't really care.
Yeah, I'm not a big baseball fan. I wish I was. I find it boring. Did you place any money on this bet?
So do I. I don't really watch it. I used to watch it when I was younger, like kid and stuff. And the Blue Jays won the World Series in 92 and 93. So I watched it a lot then, but it just takes too long. And the Blue Jays have already used like 7 pitchers tonight, I think, in this game.
I mean, I played softball. I was actually in third base. I played softball on a league for many years.
Yeah, but yes. Okay.
Why? Watching it was different.
So we're going to go to, we're doing an industrial metal album. I guess this would be our second industrial one. We did Rammstein, whatever.
Yes.
That's probably the only other one so far.
Yes.
Assuming this group influenced them. But anyway, we're going to do the 1992 album by Ministry, which I know as the title Psalm 69 or The Way to Succeed and The Way to Suck Eggs. And let's see, when did you first hear Ministry? Can you remember that? Is it probably this album?
No, I mean, I bought this album after I heard the video on MTV. And at the time, it was the election year when Bill Clinton was taking on President George Bush. And NWO, you know, debuted on Headbangers Ball. And it was so great. And, you know, you had these scenes of, destructions and Bush and the mascot. And it was such an aggressive, like, song. And I just had to buy the album. And then they, like, you know, talking about, like, the New World Order. Everyone on me was like, you know, I'm pretty familiar with the New World Order and, you know, the secret cabal of these global elites and how they're, like, orchestrating all these world events to, like, establish, like, this one world government. That's what made me buy this album.
Now, yeah, this is their fifth album, which I haven't got to that yet. But they formed in 1981. L. Jorgensen is Ministry, I guess you could say. I'm sure he's had a lot of different band members over the years. I don't know, because they're still going. Like, I think they had an album last year, but I barely listened. I didn't really like that one too much, or I didn't. So they're still going, but they started in 81 and they began as a synth pop new wave project with electronic sounds dominating the early 80s. Because I remember after I got This is the first album I heard. Again, it was probably the video too. It's like you said, New World Order is probably the video that I saw and thought, I want to get this. And so then I remember seeing a Ministry album somewhere. It had Red Roses on it. So I bought it, not really knowing any of the history. And then I listened to it and I thought, this is like, or whatever, because it's probably that synth pop shit. So I didn't like that. And I paid like a lot of money for it back then because it was an import. Different than now, because now you can just go to Spotify to listen to something. But
right.
You couldn't. You had to buy the stupid thing for $25 or whatever. So, but anyway, so, okay. And so this album is probably like they did change, which I did go back and buy their two before this. They had 88, The Land of Rape and Honey.
Mm-hmm.
And The Mind is a Terrible Thing to Taste. And I did go back and buy those, and I like those, and those are heavy. So I maybe they only had two albums that didn't get. So they were more into the heavy industrial, but it still had the dance kind of thing to it, but it was heavy, so I could handle it. Let's see. And they probably influenced bands like Static X and Rammstein and Nine Inch Nails and Fear Factory and some of those other bands. KDMD, I forget how I'm saying the name wrong. I forget it, whatever. KMFDM, I think that's what it was called. Because I do believe the drummer from this album. Now, it only in the liner, well, not the liner notes, but according to Wikipedia, the only two members of Ministry are Al Jorgensen and Paul Barker, who is also the bass player. But then there was additional personnel, so I didn't look up the history to see how long they played in bands or whatever. So Gibby Haynes, Gibby Haynes is from the Butthole Servers. He is a guest on one of the songs. We'll get to that later. Guitarist, we have Mike Scascia. I hope that's saying that right. And Louis Zvitek. I do believe Scascia played in more than one album for sure anyway. And then we got the drummer was William Riflin, but there's also some programming by Howie Beano. And another guy, so the programming might be some of the drumming, I don't really know, or maybe it's just the other stuff, because there's a lot of stuff in here. Okay, so about the album, 92, fifth album, like I said, it's probably their biggest selling album, I think. It went platinum in the United States, and it went gold in Canada and Australia, and they also had a Grammy nomination for NWO song, but they didn't win, I don't think. And the cover, where's one other thing? Oh, the title of the album is linked to maybe you wanted to say this. Do you want to talk about the cover of the title of the album where Aleister Crowley, you want to talk about that?
Oh, as far as, well, I mean, there's a lot to talk about. First of all, like the name Ministry, right? They're the band name. I remember when I first heard Ministry, I was like, I thought about Cathedral, I thought about Candle Mask. But I was like, are these guys in the same like kind of element? But definitely, definitely not. And it was just interesting to me that Ministry would name the band what it did. Like in the Bible, right? And I'm not a Bible thumper, I haven't read the Bible myself, but ministry refers to serving God and others, right? And it actually originates from the Greek word, diakonia. Everybody knows from I'm Greek-American, guys. That's why I could say that so well. And it's meaning to basically serve or to act like a servant who's pretty much spreading God's message, meeting people's needs and building that community of believers. So I don't know, the service to the people, it was just kind of like interesting as how it like reflected in their early musical style. And you had all these political and like social scene, you know, like social themes, like smishmash in there, which was, very interesting as well. Oh, as far as the name, you mean Psalm 69, where it came from?
Yes. Yeah.
It came from Aleister Crowley. And the way to succeed and the way to suck eggs, it takes its name from basically the chapter in the Book of Lies. Have you ever read that, Blake?
Well, I read about it, yes.
Okay, but you haven't read it.
But yeah.
Okay. And basically, the meaning and the album cover, there's like these cryptic Greek symbols on the cover, and it says Kefaliko. And basically what that means is 69. So it's basically referring to oral sex, basically. At least, you know, that's definitely what it is. People might not realize it, but because it's in Greek, but that's what they were going for there.
Of course, 69 is Georgina's favorite number.
I was born in 69, guys. I gave away my age. It is one of my favorite numbers without question. Next at 13.
Now, Ministry have put multiple references to the number 69 on future albums, which I just learned this today. For example, Dark Side of the Spoon and Houses of the Moly both have hidden tracks at number 69. Now, this would be on your CD, of course. There's no number 69 track on Spotify or whatever, but I do remember when I had this CD or one of those CDs, I'd have it in my car, and there'd be like tracks that were only like 2 seconds and there's nothing on them. So you had to keep waiting until you got the 69 until you heard something else. It was very annoying if you wanted to random your CD because it would keep playing the tracks that there's nothing on it except a couple seconds, like Black Hole, like Bob and Dirk McKenzie once said. But anyway, okay, and let's see, a further reference to the number was exhibited on Houses of the Moly with a hidden track at number 23 titled Psalm 23, which of course is one third of 69. And... okay, I think that's all. Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we talk about the songs?
Have you seen them live, Blake, at all?
I have. See, I've seen them live at least once. But I guess it was so long ago. I think they played with Testament. I believe Testament was the headliners, I think. But I can't remember anything about that. And I can't even remember what year that would have been.
You know, they just recently had a tour. They had the Squirrel Years tour, and it was in 2025. And I actually recently saw them in May, and they were at the Brooklyn Paramount, and they performed songs from their synth pop albums with Twitch and I think a band called Sympathy. I didn't even stay to watch them, and it was great. It was great.
I'm sure they were good when I saw them. It's just, you know, I don't even remember, like, I can't even remember what year that was. And I wouldn't even know what tour. It wasn't on this tour, I don't think, for sure. But who knows? Oh, and by the way, I made a mistake. I want people to say that they don't know what I'm talking about. But the Blue Jays game, they're winning 5-1, not 8-1. I was looking at the wrong thing. Okay, sorry. I just didn't want people to say, what's wrong with you? They're only losing 5-1. Okay. And by the time we play this, of course, the game will be over anyways. Find this episode for like 4 years in the future, then you're going to be wondering, what the hell am I talking about? It's 2025, in case you're...
Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, that's actually a good idea, kind of to give the date when you first start the podcast. You kind of put the date on.
I mean, I guess it says it like on Spotify or wherever you listen to it when it was posted, I guess, the date of the podcast. But whatever. I do wonder, we can get into this as we go, but, you know, he always talked about George Bush on this one, and he had other albums that there was George Bush stuff on it. I wonder, now I know they had an album out last year, but I didn't hear it at all, or 2 years ago, whatever it was. But I don't know if he does much stuff about presidents anymore. But I wonder if Trump was in charge at this time.
No.
What kind of album he...
Yeah, I mean, they're not one of the same, but I could see why he had a thing for Bush. I think the Bush family, I think they get $1 for every bottle of whiskey that's imported. Something like this. I heard something like that. But it's interesting that he would kind of have the thing for George Bush.
More stuff on later albums where there's a lot more George Bush than this one. It's really only on the first song on this one, say. Where he mentions George Bush anyway, I think, or that you hear a clip of him or something. But anyway, okay, let's go. Track by track, here we go. NWO, which of course means New World Order. We've kind of already talked about this a little bit, but tell us again, what do you think of New World Order?
The album kicks off, I'm singing this song, and it's an aggressive song, and it could be called more metal than industrial. You've got like these frantic guitars, you've got this disbanded world, and these like bludgeoning beats, and it's kind of like a turning point for Ministry. And I think by putting the song first, they basically said, this is Ministry and we're here to like shred. And it's interesting because they don't have a chorus in here per se. Instead of the chorus, there's like this sample of like Bush saying like New World Order, like he says it several times. And then you got the guitar solo, which I'm not sure who played that. It was Sketchia or Jorgensen. And it kind of, you know what I mean? Like, and it kind of acts like this glue that holds this song together. Good stuff, without a doubt.
Yeah, and it was, like we said, it was a video, probably a scene, and it had war stuff in it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably in it. I don't know if you're even allowed to do that anymore. Maybe back then it was fine.
Yeah, but that's true.
But anyway, but yeah, the heavy. Well, again, I couldn't compare it to anything else by Ministry because this is the first time I heard them. I'd have to go, and I didn't have time to go back and maybe listen to two previous albums. I know there's stuff on it I like, but I don't like it as much as this, and I'm sure it wasn't as heavy. And I was really into thrash metal, like in the 80s and stuff, so it's kind of thrashy, the guitar and stuff. And I could... And like when I listen to Rammstein now or Static X, who I didn't mind, you feel like just the guitar stuff. Like I could just listen to that. Like I don't even care. I just like listen to the riffs, and even though it gets a little repetitive, and it's probably not that complicated to play if you know how to play guitar, but it's just more entertaining than some stuff out there. And yeah, okay. Then we get to another, now I know, I love that. So there's like three songs on here that I just love. But the thing is that as I listen to the rest of the album, I still like every other song. It's just, there's the three standouts, the first two. And then of course we'll guess the other one, but I think we know. But anyway, Just One Fix is the next one. And what do you think of this one?
Just One Fix, this might sound kind of familiar to people, but you know, after hearing the song for even the first time, like the main riff for this song, it sounds a lot like the main riff from Rammstein's Du Hast. And that came right. And that came about like a about 5 years later after this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you've got, it opens up with basically, I think, what was it? It's at Peter Fonda and Bruce Stern's dialogue about Thorazine from the movie Trin. And then you have like this other sample from Sid and Nancy. I remember watching that. And it says, never trust a junkie. Anyway, Just One Fix is kind of like in the same vein as NWO, except it's like dominated by like this guitar melody, like throughout the whole song. It's an aggressive song, but whereas like NWO feels kind of angry and mad, Just One Fix kind of, it's got like this desperate tone. And the lyrics were pretty self-explanatory, just like the song title. And it's essentially about someone, you know, going about trying to find their fix, basically, their drug fix. And the song documents the band's heavy heroin use at the time. And the video... I was a big feet poet reader. I love William Burroughs and Jack Kerouac. And William S. Burroughs is even in the video. So you could tell where the vibe is there. So interesting stuff. I love Ministry. There's a lot going on there with this band that people might like oversee.
Apparently, according to Wikipedia, yeah, who wrote it, Frank Sinatra's voice is on here too, saying Just One Fix.
Interesting.
The man with the golden arm.
Oh.
Whatever that is. And there's something on here from Hellbound, Hellraiser 2 also, but I'd have to...
Oh, that I can see. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can see that.
And it mentioned William S. Burroughs. It says the never trust a junkie thing at the start of the song too, I think. But yeah, I love the song. Again, it's the heavy guitars and stuff. And then in the middle of the song, it almost sounds like it gets faster even with a little break, and then it goes. And I remember buying, I saw a single or something, by CD singles, and it said it was faster. So I had to buy that. I don't know if it really was faster or not, but I bought it anyway. But yes, it's a fast song. Well, pretty much. Well, so is the first one. But yeah, those two songs are two of my favorite songs probably ever, really. And now we have to connect the goddamn dots in TV2. I guess that's what that means, TV2. And so what do you think of that one?
TV2. I thought I'm going to jump into the other one. I was like, okay, we're going to go into TV2.
Next, isn't it?
Two. It doesn't matter if it is the first. I mean, this one's another frenetic song, but it's a lot more. I hear like more industrial punk type of song here, and you got these drum beats blasting and as fast as possible between Jorgensen's like screaming of like these accusations and lines of lies, and it's great. It's a great song. Well, I love the whole album, so I've got nothing negative to say here.
Yeah, and I guess he's kind of singing like a TV televangelist, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the reason for the song is.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lyrics go really fast. Is like I mentioned to Georgina before we started, I never really read the lyrics before on Ministry. Oh, you would just hear them, and there's... So I'm kind of reading through the lyrics to see if there's anything interesting to mention that I maybe forgot or whatever. But they like to repeat themselves, like connect the goddamn dots and stuff like that a few times. But yeah, so it's still a good song and I still like it. And well, I like every song. The two last songs, which we will get to, that are, some people probably will say, well, those are just fillers. But
uh-huh.
We'll get to that. Okay, next track is Hero. So how do you like Hero?
Well, this kind of, when I, this Hero thing made me think of like, you know, Full Metal Jacket. And you've got like this opening. It's a little, you kind of hear like thrash metal inspirations here. And it sounds like a track from like, you know, San Francisco thrash scene a little bit from the early 80s. And the lyrics, obviously, at least to me, refer to the military's processes, I think, like soldiers and stuff like that, by destroying and recreating them as like killing machines. So it's an interesting song. Good stuff, Blake.
And I guess there is some samples of military audio in it that, that sound like NWO also sounded more like, and this one sounded more like, and I guess they would have made good songs to play while wars were happening. Now we get to the song that is, one of my favorite songs too, and probably one of yours, Jesus Built My Hot Rod.
This song is so dang, dang, diggity, dang, 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 good. Yes, this is one of my favorite songs, without questions. I think in general, this is one of my favorite like songs. It's kind of out of place in a way in the album, but you got Jesus Stole My Hot Rod. The title is just kind of excellent, too. It kind of brings you to a smile. If you're a believer or a non-believer, this is just cool as fuck. It's basically, I think, a hedonistic rocker, right? It's not sung by Jorgensen, if I'm not mistaken. It's the Gibby Haynes that's singing this one, right? And they're not really any lyrics aside from an occasional sentence dropped by Haynes. And it's a lot of vocalizations that sound like dang, dang, diggity, dang, dang. We know that. Not that it matters, you know, the music is working together with everything and it sounds really awesome as a whole. And, you know, the story behind the song that's not too surprisingly to hear is that there is a lot of alcohol involved in their recording process here when they recorded this song. No doubt.
And of course, as I mentioned earlier, Gibby Haynes is from the Butthole Surfers.
Mm-hmm. So
I listened to a couple of their albums, which I liked. But, and he wrote the lyrics too, probably because he's the one that had to sing them. Well, he wrote the lyric. I know there's a lot of ding a dang dong stuff or whatever, but he wrote the lyrics probably because he's the one that say it. And I didn't write this down, but I read that they didn't play this song live very much, probably because Al couldn't do it. I'm assuming. Probably couldn't do that singing that he did on this, but yeah, there's stuff on here like I like at the start. I don't know, it's not written in the lyrics here, but you know, all I can do is ding a dang my dang a long wing long or whatever that means. But yeah, there's all these, like, even trying to read it, it's hard to say. So I don't know how he sings it, like, you know, ding a ding a dang a dong dong ding dong, like. I don't know if there's any bloopers from him recording that or what, but yes, it's a great song. It's one of my favorite songs. Oh, and the video, you know, the video, there's a guy, like a drag racing announcer there, and he's talking about, and they're showing cars driving on racetrack and stuff. And I love that too. I wish that was actually in the song, but it's only on the video. But then the group Lamb of God did a cover of this song, but they went under the name Burn the Priest is their cover band name, I guess you call it. And so they did a cover of the song, and they did have the drag racing announcer kind of thing on the song, which I think is cool. And it's a little different. Some of the stuff they say and it is different. So it's a great song. So check out Burn the Priest song. Oh, Jesus Built My Hot Rod. Okay. Then we get to song 6, Scarecrow. And this is 8 minutes. What do you think?
This is my favorite track on the album. It's the slowest pace of the songs on the album, and it makes excellent use of its samples. And it adds to this rather like hopeless atmosphere of the song instead of distracting from it. And the lyrics, the lyrics kind of up for interpretation now. You know, some say it's about being a pariah, and some say it's about Christianity. But, you know, whatever you may think, the music shapes how you see it and as how things, like, basically should be. So this is definitely one of my favorites on the album, for sure.
Now, as I was reading along with the lyrics, as I'm listening to it, the lyrics are kind of done by the 4-minute mark of the song. The main lyrics, anyway. They just keep going. Yes, it's just industrial, it's slower, it's doomy, I guess, and repetitive, but yes, I still love that song too. Then we get to Georgina's favorite number again, Psalm 69.
Yes, this is the standout track also for me, and I'm not sure how to describe this song. You know, like Scarecrow, it's a pretty full song. And parts of it are like NWO, you know, they're really aggressive. And you could say it's somewhat like, a little bit like Just One Fix Too is in there, like the use of sampling. It becomes like a big dominant part, an element in the actual song. But, you know, whatever, unlike the others, you've got this schizophrenic kind of tempo. You got these changes always going on. And it sounds crazy, but it also sounds great too. And I could say that this is one of those songs that you'd have to hear for yourself to appreciate. And, you know, obviously the lyrics of, like, you know, goddamn preacher, the way to succeed and the way to suck eggs. Stop it. Good stuff.
Well, I have some lyrics written down, too.
Go ahead, shoot.
A preacher with his cock in his hand. He wants
to
suck off the Holy Ghost and swallow the sins of man.
Ouch.
I like how they got praised, like there's doing the praise Jesus in it and hallelujah and stuff. And it's funny, I just thought of this today. You could be playing the song, maybe not now because we're old, but you know, when you're 25 or something, whatever, you can be playing it for your parents and they go, oh, that's a nice song. They're saying praise Jesus in it because they're probably not going to be able to understand when he's saying the dirty stuff. So it's a bit, whatever. And then there was also, I don't want to say that one. Okay, there's some more dirty lyrics in there. And this is, again, I didn't read the lyrics back then, I never really noticed. I mean, I would hear some of these lines, but I never paid attention because, I don't know, industrial metal, you don't really think of the songwriting being that important. Like, you know, say if you're in Dream Theater, you're reading the stories of the songs or whatever.
It depends. Yeah. Believe it or not, it depends on the mix.
Just me, I guess. I'm listening to it thinking, the lyrics probably don't matter that much. I just like hearing this music and pounding and stuff and like that. So I never really paid much attention, of course. Back when I had vinyl records, of course, then I would sit there in my room with a vinyl on my stereo, and I would have the big album out with the lyrics reading along, like Metallica and Iron Maiden, and when those came out, and when I first got into heavy metal, and so you'd be reading the lyrics. But back when CDs came out, it was like, do I really want to look at this little writing and try to figure it out? Now I couldn't even read it anyway. It's too small. But anyway, yeah, so that's a great song too. Okay, then we got the last two songs that kind of are pretty similar. And there's not really much lyrics to these last two songs. So we got
Nothing
is Corrosion. And so how do you like this?
I mean, it's just a pure, like, industrial song. Like, this is a pure industrial song. And it's the closest you can get to it. That's all I can say about this one.
Yeah, it's more or less it's instrumental. Like,
yeah.
If Spotify doesn't even have any lyrics to it, or the next one. But there is some words here and there. But yes, it's mostly instrumental, and it's not your Randy Rhoads instrumentals where you're going to hear a guitar solo. Or no, it's just constant, you know, industrial metal, like we're talking about, and just repetitive stuff. But it's still, I still like to listen to it. And then the closer, Grace, is similar, I find, too. Do you find it's a little bit, there's more, is this the one with the, I didn't write that down, but there's some religious samples in this one and stuff. So what do you think of the closer, Grace?
Well, it's 3 minutes, like a 3 minute collage of like all these different noises and samples before finishing the album. And you hear like this occasional snare and a couple of guitar strums here and there. But it just takes us to, like, I guess, nowhere in the end. To like this, to nowhere. But it's good nonetheless. It's good nonetheless to listen to.
Yeah, there's just like, there's some screaming in it and whatever.
Oh, you like that? Like
a house there.
You mean at the loft? That's good. That. Oh my God. I mean it.
Okay, so anyway, and I listened to Ministry, the albums after that, and there was one a few years ago. There was a song called Ghoul Diggers. I really like that song too. It was probably 8 or 9 years ago. And also another thing, they had a covers album out. I don't have it, and it's not on Spotify for some reason, but they did a version of It's a Wonderful Life by Louis Armstrong. Have you heard the version? I don't like, because it's a 7 minute version. So the first 3 minutes or whatever, they kind of sing it like Louis Armstrong, slow and stuff, but then they pick it up with metal and industrial metal, and I just think it's awesome. But I'd have to get out my CD to listen to it because it's not on Spotify for some reason. I don't know if it's on a different label or whatever it was, but it's not on there. But so if you have a chance, listen to, I mean, they've done a lot of covers, not just that album. They've done some other ones too. I did see some other ones on Spotify, but just that song for some reason isn't on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another CD that it had 20 blank songs, and then there was some other good song on it too, but I can't remember a lot. But check it out again. But okay, so are we going to rate this album? What are you giving it out of 10?
You're giving it a 10? Did I just hear correctly?
I said, what are you giving it out of 10?
I'm giving it a 9. I want to give it a 9.
I would give it a 9 too, even though I do like every song, but they could have did a little something more on the last two, I suppose, to make it a little better maybe. But I still like them. I don't skip them if I listen to it. Still an album I like to listen to once in a while.
Well, I definitely. I mean, it's very, it's still visceral, and it's definitely, you know, relevant. And it was created at the height of the alternative rock scene when almost anything that Ministry put out had this like doom-laden, apocalyptic, darker and weirder sound than anything else around. So yeah, I think mine is a good score. It's pretty high up there.
And it'd probably be my favorite Ministry album, even though I do like some of their songs and stuff and albums. They always had some great like titles, of course. It's like The Dark Side of the Spoon, like that. Cool album titles. Okay. And we already talked about the live thing, which we usually do now, but we already talked about that.
Yeah. I have fun facts. I've got fun facts.
Yeah, sure. Give us those.
You want me to get in here? Okay, there's not a lot, not like Motley Crue fun facts, but there's been, let's see, fun facts, Ministry. Well, in the mid-1990s, Jorgensen lived with and participated in drug experiments led by LSD guru Timothy Leary, and he detailed the strange and unusual experience. Yes. Another fun fact is that after accidentally stepping on a hypodermic needle and developing gangrene, Jorgensen had his toe amputated, and Jane Addiction's guitarist, Dave Navarro, he reportedly offered him $20,000 for the toe as a collectible, and offer Jorgensen couldn't really accept because the hospital wouldn't give him the toe back. And another fun fact is while working on The Land of Rape and Honey, quaalude fueled Jorgensen, he crashed his motorcycle and became stuck with his head inside a newspaper vending machine like a miserable cartoon character. So those are a few fun facts. And then I love some kind of historical stuff. Like 1992 was a very, very interesting year. You had the, presidential election of Bill Clinton, who was elected president, and he defeated the incumbent George W. Bush, which we know Ministry knows and loves. We had the Los Angeles riots, and there was the acquittal of like those four LAPD officers in that Rodney King riot that happened in LA. And I believe there were like 60 people that died and $1 billion in damages. Another interesting fact, and this isn't fiction, this is actually news that was from 1992, was that Jeffrey Dahmer was sentenced to life in prison after being found guilty of murdering quite a few people. And then this one I thought was really cool. Mike Tyson was convicted of rape in Indiana. I remember. See, Mike Tyson. I still am a nice, an Iron Man fan. So those were a few little facts, fun facts, and historical highlights of 1992 that I wanted to add to this podcast.
Oh, and one more thing.
I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt you, Blake. This one you might be interested in. I forgot this one. Now, the FDA urged doctors to stop implanting silicone breast implants due to health risks. I thought you would like that one. That would be for you. So that's all I got.
Oh, yes. Okay, just one more thing. They have a song, early song, called Every Day is Halloween. And I think I've listened to it, but it's one of those dancey kind of things before they became heavy metal. But I would see like a friend of mine that doesn't listen to heavy metal, and she would say that she was listening to Every Day. I say, you're listening to Ministry, but you're listening to this thing that's crap and it's not good. I mean, it might not be crap, but anyway, Every Day is Halloween. It's on all their, they've done a lot of reversions of it. So maybe I should listen to some. Maybe they added some heavy guitars to it now or something.
Yeah, you're going to, I haven't heard. I'm going to listen to it. And I love Halloween. So that's cool.
And they've also done Thunderstruck, Sharp Dressed Man, Painted Black, Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. And I don't think I've listened to any of those ones. There's a Jesus Built My Hot Rod Power Man 5000 remix. I'm assuming that the guys from that band must have helped do it or something. I don't know, but there's a lot of stuff. But anyway, okay. Now we're going to finish with our top 10 albums of 1992. Now we possibly might have did this before, maybe not together, because on my top 10 list, five of the albums on my top 10 list I've done podcasts for. So there's a chance we've done this before. So if you listen closely to every episode and you've heard this before, you can tell me whether my top 10 is in the same order as it was on that one or not. I guess I'll let, no, I'll go first, I guess, and then I'll let you go. I put mine in order. I don't know if you do. Sometimes people don't, but I did. So my number 10 is Ugly Kid Joe with America's Least Wanted. I always like Ugly Kid Joe.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Stuff, but I like his voice, Whitfield Crane. And Ugly Kid Joe had an album out a couple years ago, and I liked it too. So yeah, I like Ugly Kid Joe. And that had, of course, the Neighbor song on it, Won't You Be My Neighbor. And of course, the one I Hate You or what. I forget, something about he and everything, which was a big hit. Okay, and my number 9 is Testament with The Ritual, of course, thrash band, and they have a new album coming out Friday. Hopefully I'm getting this podcast out before Friday, so Friday, October the 10th is the new Testament. Okay, number 8, I got Alice in Chains and their album Dirt, which me and Georgina did a podcast on one.
Mm-hmm. That was a great album, dude.
And yeah, that's the only Alice in Chains album I actually like. But I like every song on that one. I really like that one. My number 7, me and Georgina also did a podcast on this one, Pantera, Vulgar Display of Power. My number 6 album is Manowar with Triumph of Steel, which features a song that is like 25 minutes long, I think. But of course, it's just in 7 different parts, so it really could be 7 songs, but they call it one. My number 5, I have Ministry with Psalm 69. This album's in there. Number 5, my number 4 is Suicidal Tendencies with The Art of Rebellion, which had, of course, You Can't Bring Me Down on it and Send Money back in their MTV days, I guess, where that was probably the album that broke them, I think. And my number 3 album, which would have been my number 1 album for many years, but just over the years now, a couple have passed it. But anyway, it was Dream Theater with Images and Words, because I listened to that a lot back then. And my number, actually all these albums I still listen to regularly. My number 2 is, where is it? Number 2, lost my, oh, there it is. Trouble, Doom band Trouble with their album Manic Frustration, as I love Trouble. And my number 1, can you guess my number 1 album from 1992?
And Take the One?
Yeah.
Angel Dustin, yeah. Yes.
We also did a podcast on that one together.
I love Faith No More, oh my God. There was always a smile on my face. So, he's got a new collab going on. Mike has something new out on the market. I love Faith No More.
He does, or he does soon?
He does.
Oh, okay.
He does.
I haven't heard. I didn't see anything about that.
So it's a little bit of twang in there, a little bit of a country feel. It's not the usual.
Oh.
Something different.
What name? Is it under just his name?
Hey, you're getting away from the podcast now. That's going to be a different podcast. It's going to be a different podcast. Should I get to my top 10?
Sure. Let's hear your.
Okay. I'll admit, this is 1992. It should be a top 20 or a top 25 because there's so many great albums that came out in this year. And I'm a 90s kid, so there's a lot of good music that the 90s are responsible for. Okay. Number 10, Rage Against the Machine. Rage Against the Machine. Number 9, I was a big STP fan. STP, Stone Temple Pilots, for those that don't know what STP is, Stone Temple Pilots, Core. Number 8 is Obituary, The End Complete. Number 7, who did I pick for number 7? I can't remember. Oh, White Zombie, Last Six of Cristo, Devil Music Volume 1. Number 6, I went a little off on this one and I picked Babes in Toyland, Fontenelle. I generally don't take girl bands, but I was like, you know what, Babes in Toyland, I think it's pretty damn good. I'll give them that. The Fontenelle was a pretty good album. Five is Ministry Psalm 69. We're on podcast today. It's a great album, made number five for me. Number four, I put Dream Theater, Images and Words. That was a great album. Number three is Alice in Chains, Dirt. Love Alice in Chains. Really diehard Alice in Chains fan. Number two, and very hard. I mean, there's so many great albums that came out in 92, was Pantera. Vulgar Display of Power. You know that this was going to make my list without question. And number one is, guess what?
Faith No More.
Got it. There we go. Angel Dust. Yeah. Love Faith No More. Yes. Cool. But yeah.
I know Iron Maiden also hit Fear of the Dark album came out that year. And that would probably be my 11, I guess.
All right.
Because I think I debated with that one and another one. But yeah, that was a good year. And like all 10 and Fear of the Dark and probably the Rob Zombie one. Let's do once in a while. So 92 is a good year because so it was a hard year to pick a top 10. But there we go.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, make sure you, if you haven't heard of Ministry, check them out. And if you go on, they got so many recordings of, and they have live albums. One of their early live albums was called In Case You Don't Feel Like Showing Up, or In Case You Didn't Feel Like Showing Up. Well, that was kind of clever title to a live album. But anyway, and they're still going, or at least they were. I know, like I said, they had an album out 2024 last year, and they're on tour this year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. Like, she must be getting up there.
How old he is. He's not Keith Richards old, but he's getting there. Like, we are.
Reminds me of Lemmy. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, he's just like Lemmy. Except that he didn't play bass guitar, but whatever. Anyway. Okay. So, and make sure, again, I think I mentioned this at the start, but check out our website, www.themetalpit.org. And if you listen to this podcast, please rate and review if you can. And if you're at a place where you can leave a comment, please do. Give us your top 10 albums of 1992 or what you think of Ministry. And also check out my other podcast I do called Someone's in My Fruit Cellar podcast. And that's where we discuss classic horror movies and we pick out a soundtrack. And it's usually heavy metal. My friend Lonnie, who is my co-host, really likes death metal. So most of her songs are death metal and mine are more stuff that you hear me talk about on here. So check that out too. So thanks, Georgina, for joining me.
You're welcome, Blake. My pleasure.
And on this October 8th, 2025, I'm happy to announce that Toronto Blue Jays did win the game. Going, I guess baseball players go to play hockey in the offseason. I don't know. Because hockey players go to play golf, so I don't know what baseball players do. But anyway. Okay, thanks, everybody, for listening. And see you next week.
Bye.